Our theme tonight is censorship in a thousand forms. We're seeing an unprecedented pushback to try and shut up civilian discourse as well as the independent media. It's quite significant. Last Friday, I was just flying back after a fabulous 2 weeks in the Netherlands and Switzerland, and my plane was about to land, and Soleria went down. I'm told by many of our subscribers that went down in the same hour that many different organizations were cut off of YouTube. One subscriber said half of his Second Amendment subscriptions on YouTube went down in the same hour. So obviously, we don't have anything of significance. Our main video site is Vimeo, and we don't have anything of significance on YouTube. We put some of the Just a Taste up, and in fact, we stopped doing that at the end of last year because we're going to move to BitChute as our secondary video provider. But we've seen over the last year Facebook and YouTube and some of the other social media channels really censoring and shutting people down. Now, I will tell you this, and I rarely talk about it. We spend approximately $100,000 a year, my estimate of expenses and overhead, dealing with significant headwinds related to this kind of competition between the corporate media and independent media. So we have cyber warfare, all sorts of hacking, extra expenses that we spend on having servers in multiple locations and making it much harder to take us down. We have serious problems with intellectual property theft, mail problems, courier problems, whisper campaigns. It's sort of not never ending, and it generates a lot of what I call shadow work, which is what makes it so expensive. Both dealing with the different particular situations, but enormous amount of time gets wasted as a team gets hiccuped again and has to work. Deal with it. It's really a form of spiritual warfare, and all that is money. If you look at the money we spend on dealing with it, it's money that could have been reinvested in creating a better performance for subscribers. But as one of my friends says, you know, great businesses are people getting good at doing things, which is hard. And being successful in independent media at this time and place is very hard. It's very, very expensive to tell the truth, but it's also very gratifying to tell the truth. So we're happy to play spiritual warfare, since that's, that's what we want to be. So it just comes with the territory. It's part of doing what we do, and we think we can be really good and get really good at the hard part. So, but needless to say, it was very irritating to land back in the country after two fabulous weeks in Europe to find the site down. Now, we've been working for a long time on a new site, and one of the challenges of bringing up the new site is you've got half your team working on the new one and half your team working on the old one, and it's very frustrating to get split in that way. And so one of the things I did is I made a command decision that rather than bring the old one back up and waste another dime trying to do that, I would rather spend the time bringing the new one up faster than expected. What it means is we're going to bring it up in two phases. One phase will be the last year of content, which we now expect to have. I was hoping to have it up by Friday, but I need more time to test the subscription software, so I anticipate having it up Monday, certainly early next week. In the meantime, we've put up last week's Soleria Report, and then, of course, this week's Soleria Report tonight, and, of course, Money and Markets. We've also made the pension fund and annual wrap-up free, and it's all over at constitution.soleria.com under Soleria Reports. You can see the links to everything. And we also, if you go to soleria.com, you'll see our latest update with links to everything that we have. As I said, I made the annual wrap-up available publicly. All of this is now available publicly while the subscription software is offline. So it's a great opportunity to send some of this material to your friends and family. I will tell you the reason we made the pension fund analysis from the annual wrap-up and the full annual wrap-up available publicly is, I think, the number one reason that we've been targeted in this censorship sweep is that the pension fund analysis, in combination with a $21 trillion missing money story, has the possibility of really significantly changing the narrative on the so-called pension fund crisis. And so I encouraged several people to republish. It's republished up at Global Research, Michelle Chadadovsky's site, and then Jeff Rentz is republishing it. And I'm going to do Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog next week, and I'll get him to put up a link as well, because we'll be talking about the pension fund issue. So last week's interview with Bill Nyman by Harry Blaser, then Thomas Meyer tonight, and then the pension annual wrap-up, all up at constitution.salieri.com. The Missing Money website, missingmoney.salieri.com, still up. All public, all available for you to send on. It's, again, it's a great opportunity to introduce the Salieri Report to family and friends. Some of the other people who've come down, Richie Allen literally had his entire channel wiped. Jerome Corsi now thrown off of YouTube. YouTube is now threatening two strikes against InfoWars, so maybe taking their subscriptions down. What you've seen these guys do over the last year is first they change their terms, then they demonetize the YouTube is demonetized, the ads, and now you're seeing the strike system getting people to censor themselves. And again, the goal is to censor alternative media. I think the big push comes at this time because the Parkland school shooting narrative was just not holding. The ones who've gotten even dirtier have pulled the payment structure. So Rentz, several weeks ago, got PayPal pulled on him, and then he went out and got Stripe, and then just this last week, Stripe pulled it on him, so he's got to go find a new payment system. One of our donations this week was to Richie Allen to help him get back up, and you can go to Richie Allen's site and donate. It's a great thing to do at this time. We also have been donating money to the Gun Owners of America. I extended my NRA membership, all helping them finance the pushback. But as I said, I think the Parkland school shooting has completely lost control of the narrative. There is enormous pushback this time and very sophisticated pushback coming from multiple groups. It's a decentralized pushback. People angry about the drugging of children, people angry about mind control technology, angry about video games and violent movies, the governor of Kentucky gave a great interview, which we posted at Salieri right before we went down. But you see a serious, serious push to suppress this kind of independent media. And the double down on the shriekometer and the mind control is very extensive. Now, where is this coming from and why is this happening? To keep control, to keep central control of the money, you need to keep central control of the narrative. If you lose control of the narrative, you can lose control of the money. And right now, if you look at the different factions who are competing in the current situation, particularly the what Cynthia McKinney calls the pilgrims and the Ziocons, and I would add the Vatican and the military as separate from those lines, right now the Ziocons have a very big problem. And particularly because if you look at the sort of group at Department of Justice and FBI, they're under tremendous pressure. I did a great interview today with John Rappaport, which we'll publish not next week, but the week following, on school shootings, including the Parkland school shooting. And we talk about school shooting in the context of controlling and losing control of the narrative. One of the things I would really stress, it's very important right now, instead of in your school district sitting around and talking about how to protect yourself from school shooting, it's worth having that conversation. But I would look very, very seriously at what is happening with school budgets and with school and teacher pension funds. If you look at the Parkland school shooting, it was in the Broward County School District, which is a major business. Education is one of the biggest businesses in every county in America. The Broward County School District, which is essentially Fort Lauderdale, is the sixth largest public school system in the nation. It's the second largest in Florida. It's got almost a $3 billion annual revenue budget. It's got about $4 billion in assets, with about a $1.15 billion net pension fund liability. To give you a sense of how big its budget is, it spends $113 million a year in annual food costs, $77 million in annual interest expense, because it's got about $1.6 billion of debt outstanding. So if you look at the cash flows pumping through the Broward County School District, you're talking about a major business, major, major business. And the competition to get that business is very fierce. Computers, online systems, software, books, facilities, bonding and lending, banking, that's a very big banking account. And of course, we have people all over the country competing and thinking about privatization, not to mention the pension flows. So, part of what's going on is you're trying to get school districts and teachers all worried about school shootings and not focused on who and what is playing what games with the money. And usually when you get a heavily Sciocon-related operation like this, you're talking about money and something going on in the money. The second issue, of course, is gun control. And clearly the push to get gun control is off the charts, and the pressure on President Trump to finally play ball is enormous. And he seems to be conceding some significant turf. We'll see what happens. He's talking about beefing up the Brady NICS gun control database, raising the minimum age to buy or possess a rifle, and on and on and on. So you're also seeing pressure now. The Florida teachers are trying to get their pension funds to divest of Smith & Wesson, which is the company that manufactures the AR-15, said to be used in the school shooting. Everything related to the Parkland school shooting is as alleged. It's interesting, if you look at one of the interviews on Bloomberg describing this divestment push by the Florida teachers, they talked about the fact that after Sandy Hook, the state pension funds pressured, they had Cerebus, one of the hedge funds in their private equity firms, as one of their investor or money management firms. They had an investment in them, and they pressured them to divest of Remington. Now, the firm also owns DynCorp, which was the firm that engaged in sort of significant mercenary operations and convicted twice, or their employees or firm convicted twice of sex slave trafficking. So here you have another example of the problem with socially responsible screens. They end up going after the honest companies, but they don't understand the covert operations, and so they leave the worst in place. And that's why it's very tricky to do an ES screen. Failure to be able to get that kind of information. And I confess, it's one of the reasons I started doing screens, which I'm doing in Solari Investment Advisor. But it's an art, not a science, because you're talking about information which is very hard to get. And I, in my experience, I have a lot more of it than most investment advisors who are not on the inside or working with one of the intelligence agencies. But without that kind of inside information, it's an art, not a science. But if we want screens to be meaningful, if we want socially responsible investment to be meaningful, unfortunately, what is going to happen is the teachers are going to end up helping the bad guys if they do this. So it's a very tricky subject. All of this is going to make the 2018 campaign very interesting, because you're seeing a real pressure with 1,000 forms of censorship to really step down and step on the truth. And there doesn't seem to be any creativity in the strategy. It's just more force, more mind control, more double down. And of course, the more they do that, the sloppier they become. One of the defining characteristics of the Parkland operation and the effort to sort of control the narrative around it is that it's been unusually sloppy, just like the Las Vegas operation. And so that's pretty disturbing. But again, a lot of dependency on their ability through force and mind control to keep the truth down. It's not working. It's not going to work. And you're going to see independent media come back even stronger from this, because every time this happens, you get the 5 to 10% of the citizenry who is very responsible, very experienced, very knowledgeable, and willing to take action, looking at what's going on and saying, you know, doesn't make sense.